God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds a future and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Do not be discouraged. Based on Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 25. Says, forsake not the assembling, but encourage one another. We need encouragement. So much the more, he says, as you see the day approaching. And I just felt led by the Lord to really preach this again and really, really hammer this home that the devil is trying to discourage us in many ways. And I'm going to give you some scripture for 12 ways in which the devil tries to discourage us. And I want to try to encourage you this morning. Just to preach a whole sermon, just to encourage you in this area. The first verse we're going to look at is in Proverbs 3. I'm going to have you turn to several passages of Scripture. And you don't have to turn to all of these. I'm going to quote a lot of these, and you can look them up as we go. There's no handout this morning, but you can get the CD from Richard on this. Just a vital, vital message for our generation on overcoming discouragement. And you know, the Bible says the Lord is our shepherd, and he knows every situation that we're in that we can't get ourselves out of, and he wants to lift us up out of that discouragement, and he wants to put us in a place where we have safety and where we can get what we need, the nourishment that we need from him. And one of the things that young people get discouraged over is their future, but another thing, especially with young people, is they get discouraged over their finances. I want to give you a couple of verses about this. It says in Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And The Bible teaches that if we give generously, God will give to us, pressed down, shaken together. And when people get discouraged over their finances, it's always because they fail to trust God with the tithe. Always. Always. And with that discouragement comes a lack of faith in God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Most of us, we only got 3 or 4 hills. If we have a farm in Illinois, you don't have any hills. But if you've got 7 or 8 hills, you've got a pretty good sized farm. Well, the Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so we need to trust God and not be discouraged. And I notice too, when people don't tithe, they don't budget. Because you kind of got to tithe the budget, don't you? I mean, you kind of got to think about that. But the Lord wants to encourage you. I don't know how much you give, don't want to know. But I know God can get you out of financial problems. He can do that. If you'll trust him with that tithe, he'll get you out of financial problems. It says the Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Isaiah 58:11. People say, well, you know, the times are tough. Well, Isaiah 58:11 says he'll satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters will never fail. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. And I tell people often, if they don't tithe, I say, just start with, if you don't have faith to go 10, go 5. But I want you to know, when you trust God, he will provide for you. Don't be discouraged over your finances. All right? God will get you out of that if you'll budget and you'll plan and you'll trust him. Another thing that we don't need to be discouraged about that we talked about with Joseph was a third F here, fake friends. And this is oftentimes true with people who have been through nasty divorces. They get discouraged over what their ex has done or has said to them. But you know what? We need to remember that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. And he's the best friend you'll ever have. And it does hurt when people betray you. And David talked about a familiar friend that he had. And Ahithophel, I think, is who he's talking about. But I don't care who you are, Jesus went through this, that he was betrayed. But why does it hurt so much? Because you love your family and you love your friends. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. Isaiah 26, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And so God has to be your best friend. And if God's not your best friend, then you're going to be discouraged. I knew a guy that was in love with a harlot, in love with a prostitute. For about 17 years, he loved a prostitute. Now, isn't that crazy? But you know, it's true. Young men fall in love with women who don't love Jesus. Or young ladies fall in love with young men that don't love Jesus, don't they? And then they're not faithful to them. They're, as the Bible says about Reuben, they're unstable as water. Some people are unstable as water. And you can't trust them. You can't trust them. But I want you to know you can trust Jesus, and you can trust Christians who stay right with God, who stay right with God. And so don't be discouraged when people fail you. They're going to fail you. But Christ will never fail you. Remember that. Remember that. Christ will never fail you. When I got saved, it was because of I was discouraged over a friend, a girl that I knew. And I said, Lord, I want to marry you. Thankfully, I hadn't married this girl. But I said, Lord, I want to marry you, and I want you to be my mate, my best friend. And that's the wisest thing I ever did, because he will be faithful to the end, right? Another thing we get discouraged about, another F, is fear. And this comes into our life when we have multiple problems in our life, okay? Multiple sources of discouragement. And we are emotional people. And fear is an emotion. It's a negative emotion, but there's positive emotions. Emotions aren't bad. Joy, peace, those are emotions. They're not bad. Fear has to be overcome. Isaiah 41:13. I am the Lord God who takes you and holds your right hand and says, do not fear. Why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's a book written called Mood Tides where the author, Dr. Horton, a friend of mine at Bob Jones University, wrote it. And he says it's like just like waves from an ocean. Depression can be that way. And it can be brought on, and sometimes it's from the Lord, because if your spouse dies or your child dies, there is a grieving process that Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And that's okay. But what we're talking about is being overwhelmed by this and these things turning into fear. And God says, "I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to mount up with wings like eagles." That means you're going to go through problems. And as you go through these problems, as you learn to pray, and as you learn to pray about everything, you're going to grow stronger in your faith. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name." I like what Isaiah said, chapter 54, verse 17. "No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, declares the Lord." There's another failure called, another discouragement that begins with F called failure. We talk about fear. We talk about financial loss. We talk about discouragement here over fake friends. But note this, failure. You know, we're going to fail. A righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. It's our nature. We're going to fail. Why? Because we're not Jesus. We are not yet conformed perfectly into the image of Jesus Christ. And when we fail, we don't need to lay there and beat ourselves up and like Joshua did, not get off the ground. God told Joshua, "Get up, get up." But we can wallow in self-pity because of our failures. And if we didn't fail, then we wouldn't have verses in the Bible about forgiveness, would we? But the Bible's filled with verses about forgiveness. We read that in Sunday school this morning. And Isaiah said, "Hope in the Lord, and you will renew your strength." You know, it's good for people to fail. Like Roosevelt said, Teddy Roosevelt, he said that he would rather be a success and try and fail than be counted among those poor, timid souls that know neither the victory, the thrill of victory, or the agony of defeat. It's better to try and to fail than to be counted among those poor, timid souls that don't know either one. Because when you fail, you always learn something. That's why Solomon said it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. We feasted on Thanksgiving, but what did we learn during Thanksgiving? Well, we learn more when we fail, because we learn more when we make mistakes. That's how we learn to witness, by saying stupid things to people, you know? That's how we learn not to forget our wife's anniversary, because we did it before. And we don't ever want to do it again, right? I mean, that's how you learn. That's how you grow, is through failure. And you've got to try so that you can know what you're good at and know what you're bad at. That's why I don't sing solos. I'm bad at it. But if I didn't try, I wouldn't know that. And the lady heard me one time on the loudspeaker at a wave pool, and they played my song on the loudspeaker, and I was sitting next to my mom, and she said, she didn't know it was me, and she said, "That's the awfulest thing I ever heard in my life." And I said, "Well, Mom, I'm not going to do that again," right? But listen, we've got to try. We've got to do our best. We've got to do something with our lives. And God will show you what you're good at. But don't be discouraged because you failed. Isn't that kind of a proud thing? Because what that's saying is, I'm perfect and I can never fail. That's kind of when you get discouraged because you fail, that's a issue of pride. Well, one day we're not going to have to worry about failure because we're going to be perfect. Amen? Amen? That'll be nice. Matthew chapter 6 says, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on." When people lose their jobs, God's going to provide for them. That maybe they failed and they did something foolish at their job. Well, God's going to provide another job for them. Some people get discouraged because of frailty. And that is, as we grow older, we have medical problems. We all do. And we have strange problems. strange problems, maybe things that embarrass us. But the Bible tells us, come unto me, Jesus said, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And he says, I'm going to give you a new body there in that same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We don't know what it's going to be like exactly, but we know that it's going to be holy for the Lord, a new temple, a new body. And we're going to put off that old temple, and we're going to put on a new temple, a new tabernacle. But we can get discouraged because of pain in our life, just incessant pain, pain that drives us mad sometimes. We don't want to be addicted to medication, okay? And people get discouraged over that, don't they? But the Bible tells us that we're one day going to have a new body, and he also tells us that the suffering that we have in this life actually helps us learn how to pray for others. And it helps us learn how to counsel others. And it helps us be eager to go to heaven. Amen? To be eager to go to heaven. I mean, if we never had pain and we never had frailty, we'd want to stay in these bodies forever, wouldn't we? Well, thank God. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And one day we're going to have a new body. Don't get discouraged. He's going to use your physical limitations. Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. And in my weakness, in your weakness, Jesus told him in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then there's this discouragement, number 8, discouragement over being rejected by the unsaved world. Being rejected by your family at Thanksgiving maybe because you didn't drink like they drank, or you didn't chew on a cigar like they did, or you didn't light up like they did, and because of that, maybe you don't fit in, right? Or you don't laugh at their dirty jokes, and you feel rejected, and you get rejected, and that can cause discouragement. If we're constantly trying to evangelize people and we're constantly getting rejected, Luke 10 says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Folks, the enemy has power. He has power, but we don't need to be discouraged over that. We can be encouraged that God has more power than the enemy. And we're on the winning side, even though it may feel like the odds are stacked against us, because this is Satan's world many times. He's the prince of this world. But we know who wins, and we know that we shall overcome. And it does get discouraging when you're constantly outnumbered and when your views that are just biblical views are labeled extreme. And the Bible hasn't changed. People have changed. Culture has changed. Churches have changed. But the Bible hasn't changed. That can be discouraging. But remember what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 11 as well. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. And then John 3, for God so loved a world full of sinners. God loves people even though they're his enemies. He still loves them, and we ought to love them too. We get discouraged over death. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, not as the world leaves. Peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be discouraged. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I mentioned last Sunday night that when my grandma died, my dad took down every single picture in the whole house. Every picture. Why? Because, folks, she was a treasure. She was a treasure. And she wasn't there anymore. And that, honestly, is going to be discouraging when we're not going to see them for a time. We're not going to see our loved ones. Especially if you're married, they say that's the number one most stressful thing to go through is losing your spouse. If you've been married for more than 20, 30, 40, 50 years, my goodness, you depend on them for probably half of the things in your life, don't you? That is discouraging. It's a blow. It's a sting in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's victory over death. That sting, like a scorpion sting, that makes you fearful and almost unable to move, unable to go forward, that sting has, there's a greater grace that can relinquish that hold of Satan on you. But death has this powerful hold on people, and it doesn't have to have a hold on us. It doesn't. And I like what Paul said to the Ephesians. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think, to him be glory in the church. You know, I think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ every single day. I think about that because that's the most powerful truth in the whole Bible. Folks, Jesus is risen from the dead. And I wanted to say that so badly to my family members. Don't you believe Jesus is risen? They don't think about that. There's no more comforting, more powerful thought in the whole universe that we could remember that he is not here. He's risen. Go see the place where the Lord lay. See? And Buddha's dead and Muhammad's dead and every pope has died. Mary's died. All those people have not risen, but Jesus rose from the dead. And so shall you. And so shall your loved ones if they die in Christ. And so we can overcome this discouragement of death. We can through thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and being eager to meet the Lord. And then there's another discouragement, number 10, a discouragement a feeling of purposelessness, a feeling of uselessness. You ever feel like, why am I here? I don't ever get anything done. Nobody listens to me. You know, what's my point? What's my point? And this comes into our lives sometimes when we focus on earthly things. Because Solomon said he had this feeling of frustration, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity, a uselessness. But you know what Jesus said in John 15, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, except it abide in the vine. You know, I think a lot of people mow yards just so they can feel like they get something done. You ever notice that? They just seem like they're on their lawnmower all the time. Well, at least you're getting something done, aren't you? At least you're getting the grass cut, right? And we can sometimes feel discouraged because we don't see results. But remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. And we will bring forth fruit and we will see results to our prayers. And that's what John 15 is talking about. Whatsoever you ask in my name, believe, and it shall be given to you. Believe you have it, and it shall be given to you. In other words, your prayer will get answered, but it'll get answered when God wants it to get answered, not when you want it to get answered. See? And there's been so many people that I felt like, man, how could that person ever do anything for God? And then years down the road, I find out that they have done something for God. All right? I had a guy in my church in Michigan that rode around, a new Christian, his parents weren't saved, and he came to church every single Sunday with Chucky in the back seat. Chucky, the kid that holds the knife. The doll that holds the knife. And he had him strapped in a seatbelt. Now, why would the kid do this? Well, obviously he was from a dysfunctional family, but he would pull up to a light, and there would be Chucky with a knife next to the person at the red light. And I guess he was trying to get a thrill out of people. You know, some teenagers are like this. And his music was atrocious. I thought, how could God use this kid? God can use anybody, folks. God can use anybody. And we have to remember that. God has a timetable. We have a timetable. But God can still use us, too. One lady whose husband left her, she was so sweet. You know, but she married somebody that was just crazy, and people around them kept dying. That, you know, you're crazy when all your friends die, because you start wondering, you know, is that person killing them? And somebody warned me, don't hang out with them because you'll die next. But that woman that was married to this man, she was a faithful Christian. I'm sure she felt discouraged and useless. But I guarantee you God's used that lady because she was a sweet lady. She was a born-again girl, born-again Christian girl, married to a loser, a person who wasn't interested in God. Knew Scripture, but didn't obey it. It's dangerous, isn't it? So maybe you feel like you don't have a purpose, but don't lose heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, don't lose heart. We're being renewed day by day. We're perplexed on every side, but not crushed. We were persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Let's open these doors up, okay? I'm about to faint in here. There was a preacher named Charles Spurgeon who resigned about 30 times from his pulpit, had one of the largest pulpits in England, because he would get discouraged that he felt like nobody got saved. Nobody got saved. Give me about two more minutes here. And one of the sermons he preached, he thought it was the worst sermon he ever preached. And he went home and just was just in the doldrums of despair and found out the next Sunday that God saved 50 people in that sermon. Because it's not our strength, is it, that saves people? And it's not our personality or power or illustrations that save people. It's the Holy Spirit of God that saves people, and it's prayer that saves people. And then, folks, you can get discouraged over watching too much news. God did not create you to watch Fox News and CNN all the time. He didn't. He created Adam and Eve, and they were in a beautiful garden surrounded by beautiful things. Philippians chapter 4 says, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Listen, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things, meditate on these things. The news is not lovely. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and don't know what's going on and let a bunch of socialists take over our country, which is what all these Bernie Sanders people are. Okay, people that don't want to work, but they want everything given to them. I'm not saying that we need to be ignorant about what's going on in our culture. I'm saying we don't need to be obsessed with it. Why? Because it's too negative, isn't it? It's too negative that there's people marching that won't work and burning stuff and trying to... That's too negative. I mean, I know about it, but there ain't no sense dwelling on that. There's no sense dwelling on all these Black Lives Matter people that are just full of hate. There's no sense in dwelling on that, is there? All right? Folks, Christ's life matters. Right? People say everybody's life matters. No, no. Christ's life matters. But I'm not going to dwell on that. Why dwell on this stuff? If you watch, you know, more than an hour a night of news, you're going to be a negative person. Okay? Don't do that. Don't get discouraged because of negativity. And then don't be discouraged about your past. Everybody has a past. Everybody has skeletons in their closets. Right? Everybody has skeletons in their closets. But we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a good question. Nobody can stand against us. If God be for us, are we on God's side? Are we saved? Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about it. And I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the things present, nor the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Don't be discouraged. And don't let the devil discourage you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you give us hope, that you give us a future, Lord, that you love us. And as our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's discouraged, Lord, I pray that they would remember these verses that we talked about, that you can use all things for good, that they would not be discouraged, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Remember that you're our best friend. For these things we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Robin, based on your profession of faith in Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, bearing the likeness of his death. Good job. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. And want to join our church and follow the Lord in serving him. And so someone would like to make a motion to accept all three. Okay, Roger, do I have a second? All right, Dan, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed, same sign. All right. So thank you guys very much. And please come forward and welcome these ladies into membership. And then you can just get Robin when you get a chance to, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.